from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dave Wunstead hanging out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mark Grody, Marshall Harris filling in for Mully and Haw today. Wani is here. He is in studio. We've been talking about Caleb Williams, and now let's talk a little bit about the guys that protect Caleb Williams, the offensive line. And in watching the telecast, Dave, I heard Adam Amin and Jim Miller saying things like, Caleb Williams has plenty of time on individual plays. So I actually thought that even with Coleman Shelton at center, Matt Pryor filling in at right guard, and the rest of the regulars there, I thought the offensive line looked pretty good. What did you think about the O-line Saturday?
Yeah, I thought, you know, when I was up at training camp, I'm going to go back a little bit. You know, I made the comment after observing practice and everything that went there. I said, you know, the good thing about this line group, they're getting hats on everybody. In other words, there weren't a lot of guys being turned loose. And that's really the first step. If you're not experienced enough and if you're not into it and have good sound schemes that give your guys a chance to block people, it doesn't matter how much talent you have. And so I think the guys are a year older. We got a little bit more experience. We've got some good competition. And when you lump all those things together, I think it was a solid performance from those guys. I'll tell you, the prior guy surprised me. I thought he did a good job. Mm-hmm. Now Shelton, I mean, you know, he's been a center for years. I mean, I would move on from Davis. And I mean, Bates can play guard too. You know, I mean, Ryan Bates, you know, who they picked up from Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Between him prior, so I'd put somebody in there at guard. I wouldn't worry about Davis. I think they're spending way too much time talking about this. Is he going to practice? Is he going to play? They don't need that right now. They do not need that. I would say, you know, give these other guys an opportunity. They're hungry. They got just as much experience. Maybe they're not quite as strong, but maybe they're a little bit more experienced. You know, there's always pluses and minuses to every player. So maybe you're giving up a little bit with Davis when he's healthy and in there, but I think you're gaining a lot by these other players. So I wouldn't worry about that one bit. I really wouldn't.
So what would you do with Nate Davis? I mean, the big complaint about him in his last job at Tennessee was the fact that the best ability is availability, right? And he just doesn't make himself available.
Yeah, you got to try to trade him. You got to try to move him. I think you got to try to move him, you know.
Do you think the Bears will?
I mean,
I don't know. I mean, they're not going to do it now. They're going to be selfish about it now because no one's going to be knocking down the door. You know,
you want this 3-year, $30 million offensive lineman that never practices?
And the reputation, just what Marshall said, I mean, that came when the Bears got him, that was the first thing that was coming out of the Titans organization is that, hey, we guys got talent and we don't have any problems with them off the field, but guys always hurt. There's always something
going
on.
I know the Bears are frustrated about it. So
absolutely. Flus has kind of indicated that, but you got to be selfish here, get through another preseason game or two, but before the regular season, I think you got to move on. Start playing one of those young kids or somebody.
Flus said that you can lose a job because of injury. At least that's what he said. And I don't know if he really means that or if he's just trying to motivate Nate Davis. I mean, we heard Shane Waldron give a differing opinion at one point in time a couple of weeks ago, saying that as long as Nate Davis is healthy, he's the starter. It just seems like they're all over the place with Nate Davis. And I think it comes out of a place of frustration for the Bears because it feels like, Wani, they don't know what to do about this conundrum. And maybe they're moving closer to doing something about it.
I'm sure that I would think that they are. They should be. I mean, and then the other guy, too, that they're going to stay with all the way. But I got to see a good year out of him. And I'm a fan of his. I'm an Oklahoma. I coached at Oklahoma State is Tevin Jenkins. You know, Jenkins got to show me that he can play 16 games in a season. You know, he hasn't missed like Davis has, but he makes me nervous. You know, I mean, he's had his share of injuries and issues, and is big and powerful and good a player as he is. I think that he needs to prove himself before, at least that would be my opinion. I want to see this guy do it for a whole season.
Well, it is a free agent year for him, so this would be the time to do it if he was going to do it. Like he's trying to get paid like everybody else. I think when I look at this game specifically, the name that jumps off to me is a guy I was really paying attention to on draft day because of the coaching staff and the pass with Max Crosby, and that's Austin Booker. I mean, Dave, this guy was living in the backfield of Buffalo.
I'm not going to say that I said this, and it's not a patting myself on the back.
No, go ahead.
When I was up there with Flus, talking to Flus and Ryan Poles, I said, see that guy right there? And I went back and watched all his tape at Kansas. I says, he's the type of guy that going back to our University of Miami days, okay, that we would make a living off of. The undersized guy that could run, and I use this phrase. And when you watch him play, I said, you know, he's a guy that does things that you don't have to coach. And that was always the Jimmy Johnson battle cry. Why? We don't want to get these guys in here that we got to say, you got to step with the right foot and then grab with the left hand. No. Let's get somebody in here that does things you don't have to coach with his God-given ability and effort. And that's what this guy did in college. When I was at the practice up there, and Ryan Poles was laughing, we watched him. He came up the field. It was the first day of pads. He came up the field. The tackle hit him. He did a spin move inside and came free. And Ryan kind of chuckled, you know, we know that it was the first day in pads, so they hadn't worked on that. You know, it was a live one-on-one drill with the offensive line, and he just did it. So, you know, I would play him. That's a great point. He would be active every week, and I would make sure that he got 10 snaps to keep, if it's Montez or whoever it is, to keep somebody fresh. I would put him in the game and turn him loose.
He had a sweet spin move in the game on
Saturday.
He can
do stuff. He does that stuff naturally.
My favorite sack, Dave, was the one where he breaks through, misses the quarterback, got pushed off by the tackle, but then the quarterback kind of moves up a couple spots. I mean, maybe even, I think it still was a sack, but he sprints to him, gets him by the legs. I mean, to your point, that's the Max Crosby.
Well, when he came out of high school, he was a basketball player, but he was, I think, an all-state track guy in the relay races.
That tracks.
I mean, look him up in his high school. I went all the way back to high school because this guy got my attention. When they drafted him, you know, I wanted to be sure what I was talking about. So I went back, and the guy ran track. He was a great basketball player. I mean, he did it all in high school. So the quickness, the speed, the things that you're seeing, it's for real.
I it's infectious, like the way you're talking right now, because it's clear, like, you see something, you get curious, you go down the rabbit hole, right?
Yep.
Who else on this Bears team that you've seen so far makes you go down a similar rabbit hole and like, I need to find out more about who this guy is?
Well, I didn't know much about Johnson, the receiver, you know, Colin Johnson, mm-hmm. the big receiver. But he reminds me, we had a guy when I was coaching the Dolphins, and he couldn't run like them. Aronde Gaston was his name. Mm-hmm. But he was his size. We signed him out of the World Football League or the USL. But this guy had body control in the end zone and on the sideline like a basketball player. He could box you out. And some guys can use their body, and some guys can't as far as shielding the defender and got those long arms to be able to reach out and catch the ball, even though they're covered. Even though they're covered. This guy reminds me, I mean, I really was impressed with him. I mean, you get him down in the red zone, and I know we got all these receivers yeah. enough, but you throw this guy up a jump ball in the end zone, tell you what, I like the odds of him coming down with it.
That's interesting because obviously it is going to be difficult to make this team as wide receiver. I think about him. Obviously, I don't think that they're going to cut somebody like Tyler Scott, who is just in his second year and cost control, just like Colin Johnson is too. But it becomes difficult. Like, I'm thinking about Tyler Scott. Like, last year, his camp was pretty good for about half of the camp, and then he starts to fade in camp, like where he was dropping passes, then had a rough year. He drops the jet sweep on Saturday. He feels like a guy who just it's his second year, so you got to let some stuff go because he was a rookie. But it just feels like in the big time moments, Tyler Scott struggles. Do you see that sometimes with guys that they're so talented, but they're not necessarily gamers?
Yeah, that can happen. I'm kind of a fan of his. You know, I mean, Velus Jones is who you just described.
That's what I was I was literally about to say.
I mean, you're right.
Yeah, so who are you gonna keep, Velus Jones or him? Oh, I'm keeping him.
I'm absolutely 100%. I'm not saying get rid of Tyler Scott. I'm just a little bit concerned about his rookie year. And, you know, he's had a good camp so far, but then when he drops the jet sweep, and yeah, Velus is another conversation.
Yeah, they're trying to, you know, I
get it, because if you're Ryan Poles, you want your guys to succeed, right? Any general manager wants to be able to look back and say, yeah, we drafted these guys. They all worked out. Velus Jones, to this point, has not worked out. So what I'm asking is, what does the leash look like on a guy like Velus Jones?
I think they know what they want to do right now. And are they getting him exposure to try to trade him, you know, or are they trying to really make him a player? That would be the question, I guess.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm not buying the
either
the
am I.
This idea that he's like fighting for playing time with maybe a Khalil Herbert, I'm like, I know what Khalil Herbert can do, and I've seen it happen.
Right.
Like, I haven't. This is you can say what you want about like pass protection, other things, but like you saying Velus Jones is going to be back there?
No.
Pass protected? No, what are we doing?
Absolutely not. You're 100%. I think they're just trying to give the kid an opportunity. You know, the old expression, you're on tape for all 32 teams in the preseason. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, the other guy too, I got to mention him because mm-hmm. I've been a fan of his for 2 years, Pickens, okay, the defensive lineman. Okay.
He had a
sack? Let me tell you, this guy, Dexter, is made a lot of improvement. I love Dexter as a three technique. Pickens is a better athlete than Dexter is, in my opinion. He's just got a little bit more wiggle to him. He's got a little bit more fluidness with his hands. So my point is that you got Billings, you got Dexter, and there's I'm not going to go through the whole defensive line, but Pickens is a guy with his height and his reach that I would look long and hard at mixing him in some third down as a pass rusher and getting him some playing time. I like Pickens. I think the guy's got a chance to be a good player.
I thought he was going to be really good last year. Like I thought he outplayed Jervon Dexter.
Yeah, he probably did. Better athlete. You know, he does things. But Dexter's come a long way. I like him. What I saw up there, at least, I like him. I haven't graded the film or done any of that, but I mean, I think they got two good young guys there, would be the point. You know, the other position too, we're talking about that offensive line.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this. I am a fan of Mercedes Lewis, okay? But, guys, I think it might be time. You know, I mean, we got a group of how many tight ends you're going to keep?
Yeah. We were just talking about this yesterday. Can you keep four tight ends?
You could.
If they're special teamers, I mean.
And I don't know where it fits salary-wise in the big picture, you know, but if Mercedes is, if you're going to keep a young first-year, second-year player tight end that's pretty close, and I know that Mercedes has been to the Super Bowls, and I'm giving them credit. I love them. If they keep them, I'm a fan. But, I mean, at some point, as a head coach, GM, I'm sitting there saying, boy, we don't want to lose this young guy that we got a chance to develop for the next 3-4 years. I think that's going to be a tough call on him. I really do.
I think the only reason I disagree a little bit on that, and yeah, we saw two young tight ends shine, especially on the Tyson Bagent line in that Saturday game for sure. The only reason I disagree is because that he does help in the protection of Caleb Williams. He is that extra offensive lineman. He is a good blocker. I get what you're saying.
I agree with everything you're saying. I'm not disputing that, but at some point, yeah. I don't know how they look at these young guys, or if these young guys were just a one-game wonder type. You know, we got to see. But if these kids come out and play good the next couple weeks, I just think it's a tough call for them. I think that's one that they're going to be talking about.
Listen, Bears aside, we're going to be talking about this all year. We got it. Former head coach Dave Wannstedt, who's done it at NFL, but also the college level. Let me ask you, the new AP poll came out yesterday. It's littered with teams from the Big Ten and SEC and like whoever else is left over, right? Dave, I've been waiting for the 12-team playoff since they started the 14. I was like, why are we limiting ourselves? Like,
right.
I said earlier, I was hoping five undefeated teams from each of the Power Five conferences would go undefeated, so would they be forced to do this sooner? But we're here now. How do you think this is going to go in year one? Do you think it's going to be a big deal because of the realignment, or do you think it's going to be business as usual with the normal suspects at the top?
Well, at the end, there's going to be some upsets. I mean, there's no – okay, let me just back up. Number one, there's 12 teams. There's going to be people complaining. Who's ever number 13 and 14, they're going to complain. Okay, no different – try to compare it to March Madness, okay? In March Madness, more times than not, it comes down to, and I'm not a basketball expert here, but the power, the Gonzagas and Kentucky, North Carolina, whoever, Duke, you know, I mean, it usually comes down to those type of teams at the top at the end when all the dust settles. Along the road, though, there's always a few teams that get upset. I think that's what's going to happen with this college 12-team playoff. You know, there's going to be somebody, and I don't have it in front of me, but when you look at that list of teams that would have made it last year or in the year before, if there was Ohio State got eliminated when Georgia beat them 2 years ago, and I'm going to say this, if Georgia doesn't call a timeout, Ohio State's up by 10 with 7 minutes to go in the game, mm-hmm. and they run a fake punt. If Georgia doesn't recognize that and call a timeout, they got the fake punt, and they're going to get on and score again, and it's going to be a 2-touchdown win for Ohio State. And Georgia's not winning that national championship. My point is this. Forget about the game. It did bother me, but forget about the game. My point is that Ohio State – at that point, would have been a playoff team, right, with C.J. Stroud and company. So now they're sitting there at number six. You wouldn't want to play them. I don't care if it was Georgia or who it was. You wouldn't want to play Ohio State that year. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So there's going to be teams in there that aren't in the old top four that might be 6, 7, 8 that are very dangerous teams, and there'll be some upsets.
I just love that the first round is on, you know, home. You got to go see somebody in cold weather, perhaps. You
right,
know?
Right.
Like that it's going to be so much fun. It's going to be so much fun. And as far as realignment goes, do you feel like right now the Big Ten is the best conference in college football based on what you've seen? I know Oklahoma and Texas went to the SEC, but
yeah, I do. I mean, and I'm partial to them, but I. I mean, Michigan, Ohio. Yes, I do. Obviously the early pickers are out. You know, I mean, you got Oregon coming in. Oregon hasn't missed a beat. When you look at the transfer portals, what Oregon's done, and obviously Washington's kind of starting over a little bit. USC, UCLA didn't lose hardly anybody, even though they got a new head coach. So, I mean, the teams that they're bringing in, they're all national contending teams into the Big Ten. You know, it's not like they added four teams that are good football programs, but they don't have any rings in, you know, on their hand. So they added as good a teams as you could possibly have added, in my opinion.
And I'll read these really quickly for the benefit of people listening. Any surprises in the top 10? Georgia, number one, followed by Ohio State. Oregon, as you just mentioned, is third in the AP preseason poll. Texas, fourth. Alabama, and their new head coach, fifth. Then you have Ole Miss, Notre Dame at 7, Penn State 8, Michigan 9, Florida State, who got ripped off of a playoff spot last year, is at 10. Missouri is number 11. I'll give you the bonus. Any surprises? Do you care? Is it all in place the way you thought it would be?
The biggest question mark with college football right now is, guys, the quarterbacks. You know, we mentioned Ohio State at 2. Well, who is definitely going to be their starting quarterback? It hasn't been determined yet. So I think you look at the teams that have the returning starting quarterback in place that are a talented team, and you say, you know what, I'm going to give them the nudge. I think there's so much up in the air right now that until they play a game or two, I don't think that preseason poll means anything.
Yeah, really, college football is definitely unique. Like
Wild,
really,
Wild West in every sense of the phrase.
Yeah, it sorts itself out. What, Marshall, by about week 3 or 4, maybe, which starts to feel real?
I think we start to get an idea of who the best teams are at the beginning of the season, but I think, as Coach Wanstead would probably tell you, it really does change by the end of the season, whoever's playing the best. And now, because of the 12-team playoff, whoever's playing the best can go, as opposed to, oh, we're going to miss the 14 playoff because we had a couple of early losses.
I can just tell you, just in the Big Ten alone, you go through the quarterbacks that have changed from team to team. There's a lot of uncertainty at the most important position on the team. You know, the rest of the team, you can pretty much say, boy, their offensive line's back, or they get a great defense. But at quarterback position, which will win or lose a game for you quicker in any position, a lot of uncertainty. We got to see how it unfolds.
Dave, this is great. Thanks. I appreciate you coming in, man. Mully, your guys are not here.
It's a good time.
Came in. I love it.
Absolutely. Well, you guys did a fantastic job, and this is fun. I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate that. We appreciate you guys listening. We'll take your calls next at 312.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. you remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
644-6767. It is Grody. It is Harris. We are in for Mullion Haw on the Score.
Yeah, there's certainly positivity there, and we're not going to squash that. You know, I do feel that we have a lot of work to do. You know, we have a lot of things to accomplish as a football team, not just Caleb. You know, we all got to play good around him. So it's important that we keep improving before that first game.
Yes, that is true. That is Bears head coach Matt Eberflus. This is the Mullion Haw Show. Mark Grody and Marshall Harris with you today. And tomorrow, and then the guys will be back, I do believe, on Friday. Some interesting stuff from Dave Wanstead, and one thing that stood out was the Nate Davis talk. The Bears penciled in right guard, and essentially Wanstead said they've got to move on from him. And he even said, you know, threw out the idea of trading him. I mean, you're not going to probably be able to trade Nate Davis, a guy that you don't know if he's available.
Reputation is a bit besmirched right now. And you say pencil in. Well, Dave Wanstead came in here and took out his giant eraser and said, just go ahead and just knock that out.
Well, he and I are on the exact same page when it comes to that. Really, my thing has been you got to sort it out. Like, if Nate Davis is going to be the guy, fine. Figure out what's going on with him and get him back on the field. And can somebody please tell us why, even when it seems like he's healthy, he's not practicing? This has just been a problem throughout. And, you know, Ryan Bates, Matt Eberflus will speak today at Hal's Hall. So hopefully we'll get something of an update on Ryan Bates. They usually are not beholden to being specific about injuries, but at least hopefully we hear day to day, because it sure is starting to look like it's very possible that it could be Coleman Shelton as your starting center for the Bears this year.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, I don't have a problem with it necessarily, like, because I knew it was going to be either Ryan Bates or Coleman Shelton. Out of those two guys, he does have more experience playing the offensive line. I think that like throughout this whole process, I've been nervous because part of the undoing of Justin Fields was the center position, was Cody Whitehair at times, was Lucas Patrick, was Sam Mustafa. You never had that spot down. So honestly, I didn't watch either of these guys very much, Coleman Shelton or Ryan Bates. So I'm trusting that Ryan Poles and his scouting eye is seeing something, that he would think that either of those two guys could be the center. But at this point, I'm fine. Like, if it's going to be Coleman Shelton as your center, or Ryan Bates as your right guard, and then the rest stays the same as it is, I'm cool with it. But eventually here in the middle of camp, they've got to stick with something because of who their quarterback is.
With Nate Davis, it feels like no one's calling for Nate Davis now to really be the star. I mean, he's got the starter credentials, if you will, but because he hasn't been practicing playing, it's hard to be like, yeah, Nate Davis, just go ahead and plug him in. At this point, is he not just a reserve? You can't count on him. So is there not value in having him potentially as a backup for the offensive line?
Oh, I think there's definitely value. You're not going to get rid of him.
So that was my one thing when Dave said, you know, get rid of him.
Yeah,
like, I don't know if it's easy to get rid of him, first of all. But second, like, you need depth. Here's one thing I've learned about football in my years and years of watching football is folks are going to get hurt.
Yes.
Like clockwork. I don't know who's going to get hurt, how serious it's going to be, and for how long.
Yeah.
But people are going to get hurt. So if you have depth, you don't just get rid of depth.
Yeah, it's already in play. I mean, the beginning of OTAs in camp, they were alternating at center, but the feeling was that it was going to be Ryan Bates playing the center position, that he would be the guy right there, and then they plug in somebody at that right guard, whether it was going to be Matt Pryor or whomever, Nate Davis possibly, but now things are kind of a little bit erratic. And look, this is not, it's not a terrible situation they're in. It just every day that goes by that there is not some sort of, I guess, closure with Nate Davis or closure with how they are going to go about the offensive line this year with those problems, that makes me nervous. The other thing that I thought that Dave Wanstead said that I thought was interesting was being a little bit more conservative than the rest of us have been when it comes to what Caleb Williams did in that game. He was talking about the big play to Cole Kmet, the pass down the sideline, where he said that in a real game situation, that's maybe not a play that's going to be available to you or would have been defended differently, and then maybe you want to check down on that. I disagreed a little bit on that as well, because we've seen the check down quarterbacks enough in the Bears' backyard.
Is that only because we've all been traumatized by Justin Fields not throwing to the chains? And again, I think it's different because that wasn't a third down situation, which you could argue if it was third down and you're deeper down into the territory of the opposing team, it's the same as a punt. But I get what you're saying. It was a first down play. I like the aggression from Caleb Williams. I want to see that continued. I'd rather, in most things, have to tell someone to dial it back than to dial it up. Think about it. It's football. You never want to have to tell someone to dial it up. You always want to be able to tell them to dial it back.
Yes.
So I'm completely okay with it. I understand where Coach Wanstead was coming from, specifically because, you know, it's a fast game, and while the preseason is maybe faster than college, the regular season's faster than the preseason.
Absolutely.
And the playoffs, if they get there faster than anything you've ever seen.
I understand like where Dave was coming from on that, because he's right. Things will speed up and we are going to see Caleb Williams make mistakes. But I think the reason that I was so excited, and honestly, I was excited about this with Justin Fields too, is the big play ability, the downfield passing game. I mean, I wondered out loud earlier this year to anybody that I could ask about it, when will we begin to see that part of his game? And we started to see it. So I do not want to be conservative with this guy in any way, shape, or form. And I know
he's a rookie.
I know. It goes back to the sobering conversation on Hard Knocks last year between Nick Saban and Matt Eberflus that, yes, it's the reminder that it's his first. But this is the different situation. It's a different quarterback. This is the most talented quarterback the Bears have had on paper in his rookie season for sure. So I do want to see the quarterback do different things.
Okay, I think you're going to see the quarterback do different things, especially compared to last season. A lot of that, though, was the function of a new offensive coordinator and a new offensive scheme. So I'm good with that. Everything you said, it's fine. I just think we got to temper ourselves, if you will. And I know it's hard to tell anyone who's been waiting and waiting and waiting for a franchise-altering quarterback to walk through the doors at Halas Hall to say, but we have to temper ourselves as a community, as a group, as a city, an expectant, you know, body who knows that, like, hey, this revolution is about to happen.
Yeah.
I want to be front and center for it, and I want the revolution to start right now. It is a process. Respect the process.
Oh,
I'm not
man.
Saying it's got to be a three-year Nick Saban process. But, hey, if Caleb Williams isn't better in year three than he was in year two and then year one prior, you would be disappointed. So, like, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I know.
Set the bar high, but, like, understand it is just the floor far from the ceiling.
Now, let me ask you this question. And I wanted to ask Wani this question, but it appeared that we are out of time. And
we were being wrapped.
We were being wrapped several times before we actually wrapped. So I didn't get the question in. But I wanted to thank you, Dustin. Does that mean we can play on? Go on, play forth? All right, let me ask you this question. And Dustin, I'll ask you this question as well. Who do you guys think is going to have the second most amount of sacks on this team? If Montez Sweat is to be number one, who do you guys think? And I guess I'll go first. You know, with the candidates being Austin Booker, Jervon Dexter, Zach Pickens, the way Dave Wanstead was talking. Maybe Dominique Robinson is your taste. Maybe DeMarcus Walker is the guy. Ready? Ready, ladies and gentlemen? My pick, I'm still sticking with DeMarcus Walker. I think that he was one of those guys that was not healthy until really healthy until the middle of the season last year. He had had a nice season sack-wise with Tennessee, 8 or 9 the year before he came to the Bears. I think my pick is going to be DeMarcus Walker.
Is it my turn?
I think so. I don't know. Dustin,
do you pick six style?
Yeah, pick six style.
Yeah,
okay,
I'll go second.
This is a bonus extra point we're doing here right now.
For the audience.
Play the bell.
We're going for two. Yeah. We're going for two.
Get your bell ready.
I normally would not do this, but actually, the first name that went to my head was DeMarcus Walker.
Okay.
I do think I like him. I do. I think he's gonna have more opportunities than the rookie is going to have. But I liked him. Let me ask you this. Let's ask another question top of a question.
Okay? Yeah.
Okay. So we're
putting together
now.
A pick six.
There's
here.
A very unhappy pass rusher. That used to play with the Eagles and is now with the Jets.
Is he with the Jets though?
The funny thing is, one day, and guess what? I heard this on the way.
We're
in.
Talking about Hassan Reddick.
He was at the Jets facility one day, took his physical, and did a press conference. Any idea what that day was?
I do not know. Please inform us.
April 1st.
April Fool's Day.
It literally was April 1st. The one day he has not worked out there. He has not practiced once with the team. Is that a guy that, I mean, what could the Jets really demand? Like, you know, would you give up a fourth or a fifth next year for a guy like that?
What? The reason that they traded for him is because he is franchise altering in the same way. The guy they just paid a lot of money, Montez Sweat, is. I mean, you guys have seen him play, right? He's a missile to the quarterback.
And again, like, those are the types of guys, and Coach Wanstead has told the stories famously, like you can get a pass rusher in here on a Wednesday, and you can play him on Sunday.
Get him in here on Friday and play him on Sunday. Sure. What are you talking? Like, sure. Turn him loose. It's literally...
Quarterback has ball, go get him.
Sink your battleship. That's what we're talking about right now. But like, instead of needing like three pegs in a row, the one peg sinks the battleship. Hassan Reddick is a problem. And that's why Hassan Reddick wants to get paid. And the Jets don't seem willing to pay him what he is worth.
Are the Bears going to be any more willing to pay him
what he's worth? That's my follow-up question.
Is he going to be a problem in the locker room?
But if he comes to the Bears and has the type of season that he thinks he's going to have, he's going to get paid by somebody.
And he's going to win.
How is that any different than the Jets situation though? Like,
I think it's already rotten to the core. I mean, like his teammates are going to not like him.
My point is, I don't think he's going to go anywhere get paid before he steps on the field.
It's got to be agreed upon.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Bears have money.
That's true. How old is he?
He's 29 years old.
29. Okay.
His prime is right now.
Okay. Like, yeah, absolutely.
And you could pay him for 4 or 5 years and be good with it.
Yeah.
And make the money work.
Line him up with this group.
Exactly.
Here's the window.
Because let me tell you something. We're talking about, the Bears might win, you know, 8 games, 9 games. You want to be really, really optimistic, 10 games and get to the playoffs. If Hassan Reddick is on this team, that changes everything.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say everything, I mean you're flipping the pancake, and the batter that was not cooked is now instantly cooked.
And
the
grilled cheese sandwich is done. George McCaskey say, like, it's time to do something in this division. Like, our number one priority is to do in this division. Like, okay, like you need another guy to go get the quarterback in this division. So
yes.
Go get Jordan Love and J.J. McCarthy and whoever else is dropping back in this division.
And, there's a better – I got you. Yeah. There's a better infrastructure in place now.
You wanted the bell. You got it.
Yeah, I did get the bell. There's a better infrastructure in place now than there was in the past, where maybe you wouldn't take a chance on a discontent player or a problem like Jalen Carter.
Correct.
When they basically admitted.
That's exactly who I was thinking of.
There's a culture there now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, real quick, who's your guy? You didn't give us one. Second amount of sacks behind Montez Sweat.
Reddick isn't an option yet.
Yeah. Well, you said Walker as well.
I was gonna say Walker, but I was like, if y'all are gonna just line up like that,
no, that's
give
okay.
me Austin Booker.
Okay.
Give All me right. like I
That man is going to be playing way more snaps in the back half of the season than he was at the start. I guarantee you that.
I'm going to put Fryer. I'm putting you down for Yannick Ngakoue.
Okay, I was going to say Dexter.
I like that. I love that one. I hope it's Jervon Dexter. That would be something if the Bears.
That's the idea, right? That Martez Sweat is collapsing that pocket and guys are coming forward, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's right burying them.
Quickest
right?
path to the quarterback is from the inside. So that's what some. I think that was Ryan Poles who said
y'all
that.
Y'all got
out
me
loud.
Fired up with this Hasan Reddick talk. You shouldn't have done.
It's happened. It's happened. Well, hey, guess who we'll ask
Maybe
about
Florio,
it? Coming up next, we're going to talk to Mike Florio. That can be your first question about what is going down with Hasan Reddick and if the Bears are a possibility. It's the Mully and Haw Show on the Score.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day.
We get better and better.
We can't beat. NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Talking football with Mike Florio, who joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Your hometown tire, Aturo.com. And Mike Florio is also on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. What's going on, Mike? How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
We are doing well. And I just, I think my partner for today, Marshall Harris, became overstimulated when we started talking about Hasan Reddick and his potential availability.
Mike, the talent's undeniable, right? But like, help us understand exactly what has happened in New York.
4 straight years of double-digit sacks for Hasan Reddick. He was due to make and is due to make $14.25 million this year. He wanted a new contract. The Jets knew or should have known that Hasan Reddick wasn't happy with the final year of his 3-year, $45 million deal when they traded for him. And I think one undeniable truth about the NFL, there aren't many things that apply in every circumstance, but I think this one does. If you are looking at a player who wants a new contract and you're thinking about trading for him, work out the new contract before you do the trade. Because once you do the trade, the player has the leverage because you've given up something to get him. He can dig his feet in. And wait, that's what he's done. It hasn't gotten a deal done, but it's a big mess for the Jets, all flowing from the fact that they didn't go to Reddick's agent at the time the trade was being contemplated with the Eagles and say, look, this is the only way we're doing it. Here's our offer. If you don't like it, we're not doing the trade. So who knows how it plays out? And I think yesterday, too, when the Jets come out and tell the world they're not trading him, you're basically inviting any team to call up and make you an offer. So everybody knows that it's a thing now. And we'll see if somebody makes the Jets an offer they won't refuse.
So Joe Douglas is in a messy situation right now. Obviously, that's a team trying to win a Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers back and everything else. But without Hasan Reddick in the fold, and as you said, he kind of put up the SOS by saying, oh, we're not trading him. Obviously, go see if you can get him. What would that look like in terms of money and in terms of trade assets to get him? And could the Chicago Bears possibly be amenable to whatever that ends up being?
I believe the Jets gave up a 4th-round pick that can become a 3rd-round pick right. under certain circumstances. So that would be the range. But you've got to give him something that doesn't have to be top of the market, but he's less than half of the market right now. Since he signed his deal with the Eagles, the market has exploded. This guy has 4 straight years of double-digit sacks. And look, sack production has an element of luck. You beat your guy, and there's the quarterback. You tackle him before one of your teammates does, or you hold on to him, or he comes your way. I mean, there's a lot of randomness that goes into it, but 4 straight years of double digit is undeniable. He had 16 a couple of years ago with the Eagles. So this guy can play. He can be part of a good rotation of 6, 7, or 8 pass rushers, defensive linemen who are just working their way in and wearing down an offensive line. So I don't know, $20 million a year. You know, these numbers seem obscene to us, but remember, the revenue keeps going up. The franchise values keep going up. The salary cap keeps going up. That money has to go somewhere. And for a player like Reddick to be below half of the market, something's wrong there. The Jets presumably were hoping to do maybe a little Band-Aid, get through the season, and then make a decision about Reddick beyond this year. And that's another thing for Reddick. He's got to settle in somewhere at some point. He's bounced around to a lot of different teams. And at some point, that becomes a player problem, not a team problem.
Yeah, so what if the Jets just flat out refuse to pay him, trade him. Like they follow through with what they had intended. Is he just going to be a grumpy player on their team, or do you think he'll actually sit out real games?
$791,000 for every game that he misses. Setting aside the training camp fines, setting aside the fines for missing preseason games, once you start missing game checks, that $791,000, it goes away and never comes back. And one of the reasons why a work stoppage in the NFL rarely works well for the players, players don't like to miss game checks. So, you know, we've seen holdouts trickle into the regular season. They last a week or two, and then they end. The one guy in recent years that dug in was Le'Veon Bell.
Yes.
He sat out all of 2018.
Yes.
And got his money from the Jets. The Jets, common thread here, dysfunctional teams do dysfunctional things. But, you know, cautionary tale, a guy who sits out a whole year under a situation like this, what can you really expect from him after he's gone for an entire season? And at some point, you know, it hurts us on Reddick to not be playing football with someone.
No, I completely agree with that. I see where it is. So I think while Reddick definitely has a leverage right now, ultimately he's probably going to circle back and end up tail between the legs playing for the Jets. Because as far as you could tell, the Jets really aren't going to trade him, right? They wouldn't trade him?
I think back to Rick Spielman, the former Vikings GM, declaring to the world in 2013, we have no intent to trade Percy Harvin. And the next day they traded him to the Seattle Seahawks. So there's always a chess match going on. And the problem with the Jets, everybody else is playing chess and sometimes they're playing checkers. But I think that I know how this works. Teams that are interested in Hassan Reddick are going to be calling the Jets just to see if they mean what they say or if this is just a way to throw a little chum in the water, to try to spark a feeding frenzy to see if they could flip Hassan Reddick and move on.
We certainly can't let you get out of here without asking you about what you saw from Caleb Williams in his first NFL action this past Saturday.
The most important thing, unrelated to that great throw that he had on 3rd and 12 for a first down, then he had the other great throw rolling to his right.
Mm-hmm.
He got the instinct to avoid contact. We saw it when he could have thrown a block and he decided, wait a minute, what am I doing here? There was a great slide that he had. There have been so many great quarterbacks over the years. Oh, they don't know how to slide. Oh, they're too competitive. They want that extra yard. Okay, fine. You get the extra yard. You miss a month because you injured yourself. And then on that play where he made that great throw from 135 to the other 35, he had a pump fake on the run that bought him some time. It froze the defensive lineman. And so when he threw it, the defensive lineman was too far away to apply a legal hit. That's just genius. It's brilliant. And it's baked in. You're not thinking about it. So look at all the great quarterbacks around the NFL. The one common denominator is they're able to play every week. Look at Deshaun Watson. Look at why he's fallen off. If Caleb Williams carries that instinct into the regular season and avoids contact, it's a basic matter of physics and science and medicine. The more you're hit, the more likely one of those hits is going to injure you. If you can avoid contact, you can play. And that's what impressed me the most. He's got the innate skill to know it's a contact sport, but I'm going to avoid contact wherever I can.
Sounds like a smart idea for everyone. There's a couple of games coming up for the preseason. Will you be surprised if Caleb Williams misses the upcoming game? And how much has the extra week between the end of the preseason and the start of the regular season kind of affected these coaching decisions on who to play and who not to play?
We're only in year four of this new 17-3 model, and different teams do different things. But you know, one thing that we've noticed, and this is a point Chris Sims made on PFT Live recently, and I don't know whether it was on the show or whether it was in the text chain that we keep going to come up with ideas, but it was on the show. The Chiefs have been a team that uses their starters, that gets their starters ready. And I think teams that want to compete with the Chiefs, you know, it's a copycat league. It's working for the Chiefs. Yeah, you're taking an incremental risk of injury, and they had Hollywood Brown injured the other night, and he might miss a month or so. But you're getting your guys ready because you don't want the first month of the regular season to be the de facto preseason. You want to win those early games because you never know. Even though I say first couple of weeks, throw out the results, those wins still count when you get to week 18.
Yeah.
Bears were 0-4. We miss a playoff spot by one game.
Uh-huh.
We miss the number one seed by one game. try to get your team ready to come out of the gates winning games. So get your starters ready. That's what the Chiefs do, and I think other teams are seeing that and saying we probably should do the same thing.
Mike, thanks for your time. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, that is Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. When do we return all Bears? Because we're going to bring in Mark Potash from the Chicago Sun-Times as the Bears are back in full pads, full fans out at Hallis Hall today. Potsy is next on The Score.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.